Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Geffey, here on blogtalkradio.com. Just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who's been following us on Facebook and Twitter this week, and thank you to those who've been contributing to the GoFundMe site for Faith Global Ministries. You can find them on GoFundMe and make a small donation, a large donation, whatever kind of donation you feel led to make. Just to help support their ministry and what they're doing, what we're doing here with FMG Live. So I want to thank everyone for joining us here on this rainy Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful spring day except for the rain. But you know what? Even the rain is beautiful. And we need that rain. Sometimes we think that it spoils our plans, but it's the thing that makes the flowers grow and the crops grow. And it's the thing that fills up the water basins so that we have fresh water. It's just a wonderful thing, the way that God provides for us through nature. And, you know, when we talk about pouring, one of the things that I wanted to get across in my message this week is about what we pour in to ourselves. You know, this rain that we have is pouring into the wells and in the earth. But what is it that we pour into us? When I was a child, I was about five, I think, and my dad and my Uncle Ricky took me to see a movie. In fact, I might have even been younger than five. I don't remember the exact year. It was the mid-70s, so if that's any indication of why I can't remember, well, you know. But the movie, it was my first movie ever. And I remember being so excited and going to get eat popcorn. And for us, you know, we weren't dirt poor, but, you know, Mom and Dad, they lived paycheck to paycheck, and they struggled. And, you know, so things like movies were a real extravagance. And so it was such a special treat to get to go. And my dad and my uncle had picked out this movie, and it was a matinee because I couldn't stay up late at night to go see a late show or anything like that. So we're going to go see this movie, and the name of the movie is The Giant Spider Invasion. Now, this movie is so cheesy, it is a B-movie cult classic. In fact, I don't know if you know what MST3K is, Mystery Science Theater 3000. They even riffed on it in one of their shows. It was so bad. So we go to see this movie, but I'm five, and there's these giant spiders on the screen, and I start panicking, and I end up having to have my dad take me outside of the movie theater because I was so scared. Now, what does that got to do with today's message? Well, it isn't that my dad was a bad dad. My dad, my uncle, all of my uncles, I love them very much, and they were they each played a role in how I grew up and developed. All of my uncles, my Uncle Jackie, my Uncle Ricky, my Uncle Teddy, and my dad. And I love them all so very much and appreciate them for everything they did and taught me. But maybe taking a five-year-old to see a movie called The Giant Spider Invasion was not a good idea. I'll give you another example. Yesterday, we are having in our home, a Saturday in. And my family is me and my wife, Daisha, my son, Johnny, and our daughter, Petra. Johnny is my son from a previous marriage, and Petra is Daisha's daughter from a previous marriage, but we consider them our children. They are both ours. And we were having to run around and go places and do things. But yesterday was not one of those days. Yesterday was a day where we just got to sit around the house. And so Petra wanted to watch television, which in our house, and this is just what we choose to do, it works. It's something that works very much for us. We don't actually have cable television. We use a couple of the services, you know, the internet services, and we have them play through our TV. And we do that so that we can have a lot of control over what our children watch and don't watch. And plus, quite frankly, we are so busy that we just don't have a lot of time to watch television consistently. So for us, it's a financial decision too, in that, you know, if I paid for 150 channels, I would maybe get to watch them, one of them, you know, one night a week. I mean, it's things are that, hey, we just have a lot that's going on. And so we're not a sit in front of the TV family. I was growing up, we only had three channels. And I was the kid, I knew every show that was on, and I read the TV guide religiously, and was very much a TV kid, and that's what my family did. We sat around the TV. In fact, I will turn on the TV late at night if I'm downstairs by myself. I'll turn on the TV just for the background noise of it. I'm so used to it. But we don't, as a family, regularly watch that much TV. And so Petra wanted to do this, so we let her. And she went on YouTube, which is, you know, dangerous in and of itself, but we try to monitor. And she found these shows from the Weather Channel. I'm like, how innocent can that be, right? It's the Weather Channel, for heaven's sake. How horrible can a Weather Channel TV show be? And what it was a Weather Channel show trying to capitalize on taking advantage of local legends and local myths and folklore and how that ties into weather for particular areas. You know, and so they're a little spooky. They weren't very scary, but to our 9-year-old daughter, who we don't normally expose scary things to, they were a little scary. Not during the program, as we found out, because during the program she's laughing and watching and wanting to know what's going to happen next and asking questions and things of that nature. But then last night when she goes to bed, after we put her to bed, she comes knocking on the door and it's like, hey, I'm kind of scared. And so I let her get in bed with us for a little bit, and then I took her back to her bed and I stayed with her for a little while she fell asleep. Now, was she scarred emotionally? No. She got a little scared. It happens. But at the same time, the reason that she got scared is because of what we allowed to be poured into her. See, what she poured into her mind, just like the giant spiders that got poured into my mind. I'm not afraid of spiders or anything like that to this day. So, you know, you can sit there and say, oh, well, it didn't have any lasting impact, but it did because I remember it. I remember it to this day. It was such an event. And you see, the things that we pour into our minds and into our hearts, those things affect us. They leave an imprint on our mind. And the Bible talks about that in a couple of places. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what's Paul really saying here? Because, you know, sometimes, and I like to read the King James, and sometimes when we read the King James, it gets a little confusing. But he says, be not conformed to this world. And what he's meaning there, just as in our day, in the days of the Romans, and particularly in Rome itself, There were a wide variety of entertainments, of distractions, of very worldly pleasures that could be engaged in by the Roman citizenry, particularly if they had enough coin. So if you had enough money, you could get entertained. You could get entertained privately. You could get entertained even if you had just a little money. Sometimes if you had no money, you could go to the Colosseum and you could watch executions and chariot races and battles. And sometimes they'd have free bread days, you know. We've changed that a little bit. Now we have T-shirt night at the local stadium. They come around with T-shirt cannons firing T-shirts into the crowd. Back then, they threw bread off a wagon, you know, and you were lucky if you caught one or could fight your way to get a loaf. But the idea was there were these distractions. There were these things that the people could pour into themselves so that they would be distracted from the things that were going on politically or economically or socially. You know, if Rome was having a bad time economically and taxes had to be higher, put out some more gladiatorial games. Put on more gladiators. Give them a little bit more free bread. Because it was a distraction. And in our world today, the same thing happens. You see, that's why Paul warns the Romans, and he was warning us too, don't be conformed to this world, because then we get distracted by it. We get caught up in it. We get caught up in, you know, who's going to be the next American Idol. We get caught up in who's going to be the winner of The Voice or any of, you know, a dozen or more reality shows that are on TV. You know, we get caught up in watching the latest show that's going to come out and binge watching. That's the new, you know, that's the new thing. We want to binge watch. And I'll be the first to admit, I am very guilty of it. I, you know, binge watched, you know, a few episodes of Daredevil when it came out on Netflix. I have binge watched other shows at times, but in the end, I made a mistake in doing that because it became a distraction. It distracted me from doing the things that I needed to do and distracted me from doing the things that were more important, because that's just entertainment. So what else does it say? It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think that's the key to this verse. So Paul warns us, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be distracted by what's going on. Instead, allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, is that some sort of, you know, if you put that in a New Age pamphlet with some psychedelics and peacock feathers and stuff, people will call you New Age. But Paul is actually making a really critical point here. What he's saying is, instead of letting this stuff distract you, this repetitious things that you're pouring in, these repetitious pleasures that you're pouring into your mind and into your heart, instead, transform yourself by renewing your mind, refreshing your mind. It's like he's saying, hit the refresh button for your mind. Because the point that he's trying to make here is that you and I, we have a higher calling. There is a God who wants to have a relationship with us. And he's sitting there waiting for us. You know, he wants to renew our mind with that relationship. He wants to pour into us. But to do that, we have to turn to him. And so that's where Paul winds up that verse and says, so that, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's look at that last verse, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what does it mean to prove it? It means to understand and to know. So that you can know what God is saying to you in your relationship with Him, so that you can communicate effectively with Him. Paul's saying, don't be distracted by the world. Don't be distracted by the pleasures. Don't be distracted by what you can find on the internet. Don't be distracted by what you can find on TV. Don't be distracted by what you can get into. And some of those things can be things that we think that are beneficial. You can be distracted if you're spending every waking moment at the gym, every spare waking moment at the gym, instead of with your family, you're allowing yourself to be distracted. Because you see, God wants to renew your mind. And He can do that not just by talking to you directly, not just by touching you directly, but He can do that through your family, through your friends, through helping others. So you see, God wants you to avoid the distractions and then transform, renew your mind so that you're transformed. And again, that's the key part of this verse, because that means changed. Because see, we grew up, I grew up watching TV all the time. I grew up with those distractions. You grew up with other distractions. But God wants to renew our mind so that we can understand and so that we can know that good. And Paul wants to lay it out there. He's saying that the will of God is three things. It is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Now, what does he say acceptable? Good and perfect, we can understand. Those make sense. But acceptable, you know, these days, when we say something is acceptable, that means it's the bare minimum that we will take. Well, I guess this room is acceptable. It doesn't have satin sheets and four pillows and a hot tub jacuzzi, but I'll take it anyway. It's that type of thing. So that's the way we see that. But what does Paul mean there? He means that it is good and perfect and acceptable. There is talking about you, something that you want to take in. It is not just adequate. It is something that you want to accept. So it is good. It is something you want to take in, and it is perfect. So Paul says, renew your mind so that you can be transformed, so that you can know what is that good and desirable, because you want to take it in, and perfect, because it's from God, it's perfect, will of God. Now, there was a group called the Essenes, and these guys, they sought to separate themselves from the world. They came along in the second century, I think in 3rd century AD, and these guys actually would go sit on a pole or go sit in a cave so that they could comprehend God. And you know, at first, well, their motives seem noble, right? They want to go and just spend their time talking to God. But you see, our relationship with God does not allow us that luxury, because God didn't say go out in the desert and sit so that you and I alone can commune. He said, go ye unto all the world and teach and preach and spread the news of the gospel. He gave us a commandment. He says, love your neighbor. Well, if you're out in the desert by yourself sitting on top of a pole away from everybody, you got no neighbors. You can't love them. You see, God never intended for us to be away from one another, to be alone and isolated. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to be alone and isolated, not God. God wants us to be together. He wants us to fellowship together. He wants us to be in community together so that we can love one another, so that we can support one another, so that we can share with one another. Because he knows, God knows that the life that we live here on earth is hard and that there are going to be bad things that happen and there's going to be heartaches and there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulations and there's going to be things that occur that we just don't like and maybe not know how to deal with. But if we're not alone, if we are in community, then we're going to be able to support one another and help one another through those things. And God is a part of that community, because just as God has a relationship with us, he has a relationship with others. And so he's a part of what we have going on there. So Paul is basically saying, avoid these distractions in the world. Watch what you pour in to yourself. Watch what you pour in. Avoid distractions. Transform yourself by allowing God to renew your mind so that you can know what his good and desirable and perfect will is for you. Now, Paul mentions this again. He talks in Philippians chapter 4, verse, Paul says to us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You see, these are the things that God wants us to think on. Paul gives you a list. He says the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think on these things. Now, I'll tell you. I look at that list, and true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, virtuous. The giant spider invasion does not fit any of those. I am sorry. So that was not a good thing for me to think on at five. It was not a good thing for me to pull in. Weather Channel shows about ghosts and curses and things like that. Not true, not honest, not just, not pure, not lovely, not of good report, not virtuous, not praiseworthy. Sorry, Weather Channel. I hope that if you're listening and you are a part of the Weather Channel, then I apologize for saying that about your shows, but it's true. So, you know, they might be good entertainment, and people might find them entertaining, but, you know, that's a distraction. Come up with better programming than that. Seriously, Weather Channel, that's the best you can do. But they were not good things to pour in to our daughter, to let those things be poured into her. And, you know, this also matters with what we look at online. We spend a tremendous amount of our time online these days, more and more every day. And there's a lot of dark places on the internet. There's a lot of holes that we can find ourselves falling down into when we're not careful. Men and women both. There are a lot of things that dehumanize, things that are horrific, things that we might think are pleasurable, but in the end, separate us from others, separate us from God. You might be asking yourself, well, John, you're coming across here, basically you're saying you got to be a goody two-shoes. Well, kind of, yeah. You kind of do. You know, when do you know why people get scared to walk in the woods at night? Because they've watched too many scary movies. Same thing for why they're scared to walk across go across the parking lot to their car. They've seen too many crime shows on TV where people get horribly murdered while walking to their car at night. And yes, I know those things happen in real life. They sure do. But you know what else happens in real life? Homeless people are given shelter. Hungry people are fed. Hurting people are healed. Families broken are reunited. There's a lot more good that happens in this world than there is evil. I actually believe that. I know there's a lot of evil out there. I know that. Our, you know, crime statistics show that. We see it all the time because that's what the newspapers and the news people say sells. Good stories with kittens and puppies and happy endings, those don't sell a lot of paper, son. Well, maybe they don't. But they're what we should be pouring into ourselves. You see, we need to make a conscious decision to accept and to go out and seek, because it's not going to just find us. We have to go out and seek those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report, that are virtuous, that are worthy of praise. What about the fakes? Well, yeah, you might get pranked sometimes. You might, you know, hear a great story, and it's just so wonderful, and you find out, gosh, that was a fake. It was a setup. Didn't really happen. Unfortunately, people do that. That doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we stop looking for those things. And it doesn't mean we stop sharing those things. Because what you pour in is not just the content of the TV or the internet. It's also the books you read. It's the music you listen to. And it's the conversations that you get into. It's real easy sometimes to get into a conversation about something you're passionate about. Maybe you're passionate about politics and your political party you believe has it right. And the other guys are just wrong. You know, that conversation that you're getting into, pure and honest and true and praiseworthy and virtuous, or is it just something you can argue about with your friends? Think about the things that you pour into yourselves and into those around you. You are not an island. You affect others. Think about the things that you pour into yourself and others and work to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us this week. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, for FMG Live on blogtalkradio.com.